Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't like the coverage stats because when I'm like charting it or something like that, it's like wildly different from what PFF is saying. And I'm like, they don't run this coverage. Like, what are they talking about? So, yeah, that's my thing with PFF.
But it's just weird. Like, a bad grade for a guy who has a 56% completion percentage. How does that make sense in their head?
I don't know.
Like, what would we grade Deion Sanders? I think about that sometimes. Sometimes when I was trying to do, like, what would we grade Deion Sanders? You know?
So, anyways, we're here, hey, Raider Nation. Tap in.
Everybody.
Instant we're back. Reaction. Yeah.
We're back, everybody. We are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. You know, you guys already know what to do. You know, subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you don't like it. Hit the like button if you like want to comment. You know, like it, leave a comment. Dislike it, don't leave a comment. Follow us on Twitter at the Marchon NFL and at BD Williams 8T. You know, I guess Raiders fans feel a little better today after all of this. Nice little action we got today. We got some action, right? Maybe we should have just waited a day, you know? The Raiders waited till free agency started, which is interesting. They waited till free agency started and then started making some moves. So excited about what's happening. I am at least. I'm pretty excited about everything that went down today with some of these players. So BD, how you feeling about what happened today? Some of the movement we had today.
You know, I did overreact like a fan. Earlier today I was pretty geeked. I was pretty amped about Chandler Jones. You just heard me, guys. If you tuned in yesterday, what was I saying about Ngakoue? I said that's not good enough. Okay. To compete in this division, you got to have a championship level pass rush. Now you got that, I think, with Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. And what I love about the combination, because they're both very similar profiles in terms of like their wingspan and their height and everything like that, they're just very disruptive players. And sometimes they're doing things, both if you watch these guys, they're doing things throughout the course of a game, like big-time impact defensive ends do, where it's just wearing down on the other team, you know? They're beating blocks, and they're shoving guys around, and maybe they don't get, like, a counting stat, right? But they occupied three blockers, and someone else came free and made, like, a tackle for a loss, right? So that's the kind of things that we've seen Max Crosby do. Okay, and I think Chandler Jones also will bring that the entire game. It's a huge get for the Raiders defense, and I really think you know, this whole 3-4 conversation. We got a 6'5", 260-pound defensive end, Max Crosby, and then on the other side, a 6'5", 260-pound defensive end. These are even front defensive ends. These are not droppers. They're not rush linebackers who sometimes play coverage. No, these are defensive ends. This is an even front team. Your cornerstones are even front ends. That puts this whole 3-4 conversation to rest officially.
All right, officially, but it's still going to happen, so it doesn't matter. Nobody knows. they've told him that like at least 8 times.
They keep asking.
So obviously nobody's going to listen. And then they're still having that conversation on Twitter. I still see it. 3-4 conversation is still out there. Yeah, they're definitely playing 3-4. These guys are standing up. Yeah, I'm so excited about this. Definitely a 3-4 defense. Like, whatever. Like, what are we doing?
All right, whatever. Yeah.
But so let's start with Chandler Jones. You know, that was the big splash signing with, we'll get to the trade in a second. You know, what do you think of Chandler Jones overall? I mean, his resume speaks for itself. So I really don't feel like there's too much really to say about him. I mean, he's just one of the best technique pass rushers you'll see, bro. I mean, like, this is, I mean, this is it. I mean, I'm pretty hype about this because I think Crosby's motor with his motor too. Like, yes. That dude is always angry. He's angry about something. He's always upset. His brother, you know, runs the family. His brother likes to punch people in the face and get punched in the face for a living. So,
right.
You know, it's in their blood to get a little rough. You know what I mean? So it's something that, you know, you're really excited about. And he still has it. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, it's one of those things where, the guys are old and we don't like old guys, right? You know, that's the movement we got. The older player he is, the worse he is. But we have to understand sometimes is when elite players last longer. Let's just keep it real. They last longer. Elite players play better at 32. Dwight Freeney was like a pickup guy. Hey, Dwight, come help us get 8 sacks. And he would just go and help a team get to the Super Bowl or get to the NFC. Like, he was like a pickup. He was like 36, 37, just spinning.
Right.
Get 8 sacks.
I only played playoffs.
He played the last 8 games of the season. He'd sit out to week 8. Somebody come pick up. Hey, Dwight, come help. Oh, right. What's up, bro? I got you. And he'd go get 8 sacks.
Yeah.
Like these guys are just – some of these guys are just special. I mean, he had a 5-sack game last year, right? Yeah. And, you know, he had a little bit of COVID, deal with COVID, whatever. He still ended up with 10.5 sacks. 10.5 sacks is still productive, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's this guy's he's a premier pass rusher in every way. So,
yeah. Let's not overthink it. He's a premier pass rusher. He's an eventual Hall of Famer, right? Over 100 sacks in his career. Okay, this is a Hall of Fame resume that he has. Maybe not a first ballot, okay, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. But, you know, like this guy has an incredible resume. But then also, okay, maybe he doesn't get 20 sacks. Okay, that's fine. What is he going to teach Max Crosby? Right? That's what we need to watch out for. Right, what is he going to teach Malcolm Kuntz? You know, but the thing with Max Crosby and him is they have such similar body types. You know, the moves, I just think, look, Max Crosby, soak it in from Chandler Jones. In 2 years, we're seeing Max Crosby being maybe a 20-sack guy because of having a teammate like Chandler Jones. So that's what it's about. Not just the production that Chandler Jones is going to have, but the effect that he's going to have on the entire defense. And I think those guys still, even without the sacks, throw the sacks out. Those guys disrupt the game. They hit the quarterback. They hit him on the ground even after the ball's out, right? They're just always breathing down the quarterback's neck, hassling these guys. So throw the stats out the window. The counting stats, who cares about, oh, he had 10 sacks, he had 10.5 sacks, he had 9. Who cares about that? These guys affect the game. They impact the game because of their constant pressure on the quarterback and just getting into the backfield. So we're going to see that also going up against Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson and Justin Herbert. We're going to see that in the division where we need it the most.
Yeah, I mean, and even with the left tackles out of this division, I mean, I don't know who the Chiefs have right now. I mean, they have Orlando Brown. I mean, that's not somebody that is going to give, you know, Chandler Jones a lot of trouble. I mean, Rashawn Slater is still young. So he is a experienced and really good pass rusher. I mean, I there's no way to really explain it. I don't really – like that dude.
Slam dunk.
It's a slam dunk. Like he's motivated because the Cardinals wouldn't pay him. He thinks the Cardinals wouldn't pay him. He likes Arizona too. I live in Arizona, guys. He likes Arizona. So he's a fan of when he wanted to stay in Arizona. Like he did not want to leave. It's not a thing. He feels like disrespected. And that's what we're getting. We're getting the disrespected guy. The guy who feels like this that he should have played with, he should still be there, right? I mean, he helped build a foundation with the Cardinals too. I mean, he's a big part of what they used to do, man. He's a big part of keeping them afloat, right? Keeping them, well, I mean, so they got like Josh Rosen, and then Josh Rosen kind of sunk everything. But, you know, he helped them stay afloat. I mean, he was a great player over there. and he loved Arizona, man. It's not like a, it's not like something he wanted to leave, and you could tell he's angry. That's why he's saying change my colors and all the other stuff. So we're getting the angry guy. We're not getting the old guy who just won a Super Bowl. He's coming off. Hey, I just won a Super Bowl. Hey guys,
yeah,
hey, come. Let's do something over here. I still got a little left though. This guy's mad. So, yeah. Right. I think he's gonna take it down on these other guys.
Fun fact: most people probably know this by now. Chandler Jones' brother, Bones Jones, MMA light heavyweight champion, also other brother. Arthur Jones also played in the NFL, was a defensive lineman for the Colts. So to your point about elite players, this is elite genetics as well. Okay, so the kind of family that this guy's coming from, where you got three elite athletes coming out of it, right? Yeah, 33 for him is probably like 27 for most people. You know, like that's what we're talking about, how his body feels. I'm not concerned whatsoever about it. And also, I think, you know, just let's look at modern medicine and guys coming back quicker than ever from injuries. And so we are seeing guys being able to play longer than we're accustomed to seeing. You know, careers aren't over necessarily at 30, especially like you were saying before, great point for elite players.
Yeah.
But like, let's move on. We got other guys to talk about too, right?
Yeah, I got you. But I'm just saying, this is not Clayus Campbell. People get mad and be like, come on, guys.
Right. Come on. They're really looking at their ages. Come on, relax. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, some of these players, you have to look at how they are still playing. That's all I'm saying. Rakya Sin is coming to play corner for the Raiders. Unique Ngakoue was shipped out to Indianapolis, right? He's went from the desert to the cold, man. That's a cold place. I was out there just a little bit. No joke. So we got Unique Ngakoue moving. We got Rakya Sin coming in. Let us know a little bit about Rakya Sin, how he's going to fit, and what kind of that's going to do for the scheme a little bit.
Yeah, I think when he came out, it was kind of pegged. He's a zone corner. He's a cover two style of corner. I think, you know, like his 40 wasn't amazing or anything like that, but he's such a smart, tough, feisty football player. He's going to press you. He's going to jam you. He's going to reroute you. He's going to be super aggressive. And that's the style of play that he brought, you know, to the NFL so far. I've only seen like glimpses here and there through the years. I haven't got a chance so far to jump into it, but, you know, we'll be getting breakdowns in these coming next couple days, maybe a week out. For all these breakdowns, because there's a lot on the defensive side of the ball. I'm so upset because I spent my entire day watching Bilal Nichols. so I can talk to you about Bilal Nichols a lot, and that's like no one cares anymore about that. But Rakya Sin, what I love about it is he transferred from FCS. He had one more year of eligibility. He transferred from FCS to Temple. So he jumped up and then – you know, so usually that's like, usually you don't see that someone going from FCS up, you know, and then not only that, but he like started immediately, became a, you know, potential, you know, top 50 pick with the play that he had at Temple. So he's got a great background. I don't think that he's going to back down from anyone. I think he's very similar in demeanor to Nate Hobbs, a guy who's going to tackle you, a guy who's going to be super competitive, super feisty out there, and also demand accountability. Just from what I've seen and heard of interviews about Rakya Sin, it seems like he's a great leader on top of that as well. So I think it's a great scheme fit from what I've seen from Patrick Graham's defense. He likes to stay in too high. He likes to give his corner safety help over the top so they can be aggressive. You know, whether they're running man or zone schemes. So Rakya Sin fits in there from that perspective, because again, this is a too high league now. AFC West, we're going to see like exclusively too high defenses. So Rakya Sin fits. I think we've seen some of the Spagnuolo. I think we could compare him to some of these Kansas City guys that we've seen, Breshad Breeland, who aren't like the fastest, right? But they make really savvy plays. Really smart plays that get interceptions, stuff like that, especially within the division. I think we'll see that from Rakya Sin.
Yeah, you know, Rock Ya-Sin, he had a great Senior Bowl. That's kind of where he came up as. And, you know, he's a ascending player, got better in the system. You know, he's developing. You know, so, you know, a lot of these players, especially playing corner, it takes a while sometimes. You have to be patient with them a little bit with some of the adjustments, especially because they're playing against pros. And you went to Temple. I mean, yeah, you go out there, you can ball against other players in the Senior Bowl, but you're not seeing some of these moves that these guys have been learning from, you know, their pro trainers and their pro coaches. So yeah, it takes a little bit of development sometimes, and he's on that ascending development part of it. But, I mean, he is mostly a zone corner. You know, people, you know, he has good press reps, right? He has
them. He can press. Hotel. He can press.
He can press. He has good press reps, but, you know, it comes from his system. So that's, you know, you have to think about how that's what kind of what they might have brought him in for. But we really don't know what Patrick Graham's going to do, to be honest. You know, it all depends on how he feels about the system. You know, sometimes what we did with the Giants, you know, they did something different with the Dolphins, but you could say that that's Brian Flores, right? But he has all those elements, though, right? He's just not one guy. So he might have a vision of him playing press corner, especially with the other guy at this time that we'll get to in a second. So.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have too many corners, and Rockison definitely he's a feisty, competitive guy, you know, tough guy. So love everything about that. And then also addressing the other side of it, Unique Ngakoue, we talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday. Right when they signed Chandler Jones, I'm thinking, okay, Unique Ngakoue can be the pass rush specialist, but they shipped him out. Unique Ngakoue probably has, you know, probably too much pride to, like, take that, right? We talked about that. Like, sometimes the player is not in that point in his career when he can take that step back and be a pass rush specialist. And I think that for a playoff caliber defense, that's what the best role would be for Unique Ngakoue. But he wants to start. So we'll see how they do with him, you know, in Indianapolis with Gus Bradley is reunited over there. But, yeah, I just didn't see the fit looking at what they asked their players to do. And Patrick Graham's defense, I didn't quite see the fit with Unique Ngakoue in terms of kind of what you need to do against the run. And Chandler Jones can do those things. He's just a bigger, stronger player. So, you know, it's just a better scheme fit from that perspective. You know, and then also it helps out over there because Rock Ya-Sin no longer a scheme fit in Gus Bradley's scheme, comes over to a too high scheme. So we kind of swap bad scheme fits.
I was like, hey, Gus, man, you got a bad scheme fit. We got a bad scheme fit. Let's go ahead and just make it happen,
bro. Yeah, just make it happen. Right.
You know, a little friendly gift to Gus, basically, is what happened there.
There you go.
You know, it was interesting. Somebody was talking about man coverage skills, man coverage grades. You know, Stephon Gilmore is third in man coverage grade. So that was interesting. All right. Anthony Everett is coming in. You know, I know you haven't watched Anthony Everett too much, BD, but, you know, they play. Yeah. Now they play man.
They play man. Exclusively. They play man.
Cover zero. We're not scared. You know, I call that man football. Yeah. I call cover zero man football. So I thought we're going to play. We aren't terrified. Yeah. We're going to come and play in your right face. You know,
zone cover zone. Zero is what you see a stacked high school go up against like a team that's like not quite in, like not even in their league. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then they'll just be out there cover zero, just blitzing the entire and just like kill them 56 to nothing, you know? Like that's what that cover zero is, you know. So to be in it that much is super ballsy. But anyways, Anthony Everett comes from a man scheme. Okay. Something I was sensing when I was watching Bilal Nichols was maybe this staff is gonna get some of these guys and think maybe we could get more out of them than where they were before. Okay. And I don't even know if I'll do a Bilal Nichols breakdown, honestly, because Raider Nation has a hard time with negativity. And if I put something out there like that, you know, it's going to be, they're going to be talking about how Bilal Nichols sucks at this and Bilal Nichols sucks at that. And so I'm not going to put a breakdown out there. Like, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, a good play of Bilal Nichols. Yeah. But you see him on the ground a little bit more often. Then he makes a play. But anyways, I'm guessing with some of these, Patrick Graham is thinking, I like this guy coming out. I see how he's been used so far. I think I could use him better. I think I could get more out of him than whatever he was, you know, whatever production they had out of him. And getting some of these guys, they're relatively young, 26, 24, 25 years old guys. They got maybe perhaps the best football ahead of them. Even Rocky Sin, who's, you know, he's already proven he's a starter in the NFL. But then also to this guy, Bilal Nichols, or even Anthony Averett, those guys are like more like rotational players in the NFL so far. Maybe Graham has a plan, a vision that he thinks he could take advantage of these guys' skill set and get even better play out of them. So we'll see.
A comment I will say, I think this kind of tells us where they're going in the draft, in my opinion. I think kind of the players that they're bringing in at some of these positions. I know Rocky Sin, you know, he's definitely a developing player. But, I mean, he's not somebody that'd stop you from drafting somebody.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You know, he's not that type of player yet, right? Even Trayvon Mullen's not somebody to stop you from drafting somebody. So unless they bring in another veteran, which is possible, right? I mean, Stephon Gilmore is not most popular pick right now. He might cost a little bit more money, but if they want to bring somebody in like that, I mean, it's going to be effective in whatever they do, really. He's still going to be, if he's not elite, he's going to be good, right? Just like kind of like Casey Hayward was. I mean, that's basically kind of the outlook you have to look at it if you bring in Stephon Gilmore. But I kind of feel like, right, you know, you bring in Nichols, right, to play defensive tackle. He doesn't really have, like, true starting potential, like where you want him out there every single play, right? So that kind of tells me, like, they want a rotation, and then that's when you start looking at the draft, right? You start bringing in some younger guys at the positions that can do the rotation a little bit. So I don't think they're done at defensive tackle. I mean, Ioannidis got released. I mean, that was an interesting release that I saw.
That's a big fit.
Right? Great fit. That's a big fit. So my Ioannidis is still out there. You know, I still feel like they might bring back Jonathan Hankins. I still think that is a possibility. But I feel like they like those players in the draft. And we talked about those, what he was talking about with hands and stuff last time. You know, I think that's what, kind of what this is telling us with the cornerback position and the defensive tackle. We're like, okay, we'll get some good players. We'll get some depth there. But we like what we see in the draft, which, I mean, that really is the best position in the draft. I mean, I'm going to keep it real with everybody. The best position in the draft with the most depth is corner, which bothered me because nobody at the combine was there for them. And it was all the best players in the draft. Like, 7 of them could go first round, right? There's a lot of them that could – some guys might jump. There's a lot of quality corners in this draft, and you can get like 2 or 3 of them. You can get one that could play inside. You can get one that could play outside. You know, there's a lot of flavors. So,
I don't know. Because the first thing that I thought about when I was watching this is the volume that they have on the back end. It's like every coverage, nuts man. And little wrinkles and here and there. I was like, you need veterans to do this. You know, you need a vet to be able to execute this. And, you know, I think they were waiting around to see if they could swing a James Bradbury trade or if he got released. And it looks like he didn't get released. And then they were also maybe thinking about Stephon Gilmore, you know, but they got some veteran guys, even if these are still like not established, like fully established NFL players, like, you know, premier NFL players, they're still vets, you know? So yeah, sure, draft the DB, but I don't think it's, you know, like a lock for round one. Like, I think DT at this point is still like, that's in the running for round one.
I just think with the kind of the players they brought in, man, they're like, I mean, Rocky Sin is a good player, but he's not gonna stop you from taking Elam or something like that. It's just in my opinion. Somebody that's
I'm worried that this coaching staff is banking on the edge that they will bring is we're gonna have the best coaching in the division.
Yeah, they're a little cocky. I feel it.
And yeah, so. But to their credit, they did get Chandler Jones, You don't have to coach Chandler Jones or scheme Chandler Jones, right? That's making your job really easy for Patrick Graham, right? Max Crosby and Chandler Jones, like, come on, what are we even doing here? This is easy, okay? But, you know, that being said, I think, again, going back to my previous point, Patrick Graham, I think, truly believes he can – oh, Rocky Sin, he'll be a Pro Bowler with me. You know, Anthony Averett, like, he's going to be, you know, a great nickel corner for me or whatever it is. You know, I think that he truly believes that.
Yeah, so, I mean
– Hopefully that cockiness, the arrogance doesn't come back to bite them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, because you think about it, I mean, the Patriots played this division a couple years ago, right? I mean, they have all the same quarterbacks, right? I mean, besides Russell Wilson, right? Russell Wilson's come in. And I mean, they put it on some of those teams, right? I mean, they didn't. I mean, they beat the Chargers, but I mean, and Justin Herbert played him again last year, and he has probably his two worst games of his
ever,
career.
Yeah, right now, you're right. True.
Against the Patriots,
right?
Right, and those are two worst games of his career. And whatever their game plan to stop him is worked twice and made him play really bad, right? So I think they have a plan to stop these teams. And, you know, they are really good preparation team, and they're adjusters too. They're going to adjust, right? I mean, that's the thing, you know, you have to realize with this team is that they're going to adjust really, really well. I mean, they might do something, come with the game plan that might not work in the first quarter. They're not going to just wait till the fourth. They're adjusting in the second. And a good vision for that is, you know, when the Raiders played them last year in 2020, and they came out passing, and then from the second quarter on, they just did tosses. Remember that? They just tossed the ball.
Yeah.
It was like 200 yards rushing or something. They never ran that well again. So, you know, that's a little bit of something that's going on with this. Is like they feel like they can coach too. And,
yeah.
You know, that's what the offensive line is kind of the glaring one. Like, but we'll see. It's still early. I mean, Darrell Williams is still out there. You know.
Well, I forgot to ask you about Lyle Collins. Lyle Collins, what do you think?
You're going to have to trade for him, though, at this point. Because they haven't released him yet, have they?
No.
You have to trade him.
They didn't release him at 4 p.m. today.
I mean, hey. I mean, yeah, that's an upgrade. I mean, any of those guys. Darrell Williams is an upgrade. Lyle Collins is an upgrade. Any of those guys. I mean, Brian Bulaga is an upgrade. This was something I forgot yesterday. He's out there, too. I mean, that's not a slouch. I mean, he has some injury problems, right? He has an injury last year, but he was good the year before. Brian Bulaga is a good player too. So there's good tackles still out there. I mean, there's no reason to rush. I mean, honestly, all the right tacklers.
Bulaga has experience in the division at least.
Yeah.
So there's that. He has some of that experience. I'm not a fan of Bulaga, but I didn't think that he had a great tape. You know, I'm watching these guys beat him up over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's time for him to get out of the division. He needs to go somewhere where the edge rushers aren't like this. And then maybe he can get another contract after this. But yeah, they're going to retire him if he stays in this division, I'll tell you that. So it's definitely interesting. What right tackle would want to play here, though? Think about that. Who would want to go through this murderer's row? You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, you're telling me they're being scared off. They're like, right, nah, man, I'm good, bro.
Like, no, thanks.
How much you paying me?
Right.
Like, who's got to be?
Right. It's everyone. Every single pass rusher you ever heard of is over here.
That's a damn crazy good point, man. That must be. Oh, man.
But don't every. Right, correct me if I'm wrong, now.
Don't reset.
Every single one of these AFC West teams has a question mark at one of their tackle spots, right? It's not just the Raiders.
I don't think any of them have a right tackle.
There you go.
None of them have a right tackle.
There you go.
You made a great point, man. Like
the entire AFC West.
They got Storm Norton. We got Jackson Barton. It was a Jackson. I think it's Jackson Barton. You know, who's the Chiefs' other right tackle? You know,
and
nobody wants to bring Eric Fisher back here. We already saw him got lifted. He's getting lifted up. He's not allowed.
Done.
We're not watching Eric Fisher get lifted up.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
I mean, Darrell Williams.
Remmers.
Yes.
Yes. The Chiefs, but is he still there?
Huh?
For the Chiefs? Chiefs right tackle?
Okay. Remmers is not good, so it doesn't matter. Yes, yeah, so hopefully it still is.
Okay, hopefully it's still.
He's not that good. All right, so what else we got? We got fullbacks. You know, about the
Oh yeah. So I wanted to add that. Yeah.
I guess I could get some offensive stuff. I mean, finally, I got some. This is all defense, man. I see the. I like the vision though. That's the thing I always say.
So what is the division?
We got worst quarterback in the draft.
Fullback. Tell us about this. Let's fullback. This is a unique guy.
But, yeah. All right. I mean, he's just a blocking guy. I mean, he's really not that unique, bro. I mean, it's just Patriot. The McDaniels offense, the fullbacks, they block. They don't do anything damn else. They come out there. It's really not, you know, you might get a play action. You might get a block.
He's like 6'3", 260, though. He's like huge. This isn't like a normal fullback. This is a huge fullback.
He's humongous. But so is Devlin.
Yeah.
I remember Devlin.
Devlin. Yeah.
It's the size. That's what they like at fullback. And he's just, they like battering rams because when they play two running backs that are actually in the backfield and who are going to pass catch, it's going to be Drake and it's going to be Jacobs.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you guys that right now. It's going to be Drake and Jacobs back there. And maybe sometimes they'll put in Bolden, who they just signed, who we'll talk about a little bit too, who's probably going to be the more third down back because Drake's not the best blocker because, you know, John Gruden, I don't know what tape he was watching when he decided to do that, but you could watch him on tape in Miami getting run over. So I don't know what he was thinking. And then Cliff Kingsbury wouldn't even put him out there on third down. So John Gruden's like, that's a third down back. But anyways, you know, the McDaniels is like, no, he's not. I'm going to throw passes to him because he's a good pass catcher and he can make guys miss in space. That's probably the best idea to do with Kenyon Drake. That's why he got his little money, his little structure. They gave him a signing bonus or prorated, whatever they do with salary caps. So they can just throw him the ball outside, you know, and get him on some wheels. We're going to see some cool wheels with him. You know what I mean? There's some dope wheels with him out of the backfield. They're going to match him up. I think Kenyon Drake's going to have a big year, in my opinion. He's just not going to have a lot of carries if you're looking for him. I mean, he might.
Good.
But it's kind of funny that they went for James White, and they're like, oh, fine. I guess we'll take Bolden. It's kind of fine. But I mean, Bolden can teach Josh Jacobs the offense, right? And so can really Kenyon Drake, because Kenyon Drake ran this in Miami with Gase, right? Gase is a Earhart Perkins guy. I say Earhart sometimes. Earhart Perkins. You know, so Kenyon Drake ran before too, right? So he could teach Jacobs a little bit of the offense too. He could teach the other guys the language, you know.
Right.
So that's a big factor why he's still there too. Well, you need that. You need somebody that can teach him the language, right? I don't know. He might not last the past training camp. We don't know. He might just teach everybody and they might just say peace because they already paid him. But
they'll bring him back in like week 13 or something. Like that.
Well, week 13. But yeah, yeah. That's why Ingold's not here, because Ingold, he can block, all right, but it's just not his forte, all right? Yeah. So, you know, he's a solid blocker, right? I'm not going to say
bad. He'll get his body there.
He'll get his body there, but he's not Jacob Johnson, whose job is just to run into people. It's basically his job.
Jacob Johnson is going to bulldoze.
He'll get like five targets. Yeah, he'll get like five targets. And that's why Ingles not here. But I mean, I think they set up Ingle well, to be honest. I think they did it the right thing because they could have forced him to do, but they could have tried to pigeonhole him, be like, let's have you do this, right? We're gonna try to force you to do something that you're really not accustomed to doing, right? He's more of a move pass catching fullback.
Yes.
He's more of like a fullback weapon that you want to use. And you know, that's why it's good that he went to the Dolphins. That's good for him. He's going to get some action there, I think, over there. So, because he's got a guy who knows how to use him, right? McDaniels wasn't going to use him, right? That's just the way it is, man. Something that upsets some
people.
For his career,
like,
though.
Use check light. It's like diet use check, right?
Exactly. So there you go. So for his career, it's the best thing that they could have did.
For sure.
For sure. To kind of let him go. And he got, and then Michael Daniels was like, who? Oh, and then picked him right up.
Yeah.
Right. He made the call. Might even call John on the side. John was like, yeah, I know, you know, the Hollis. I can't do the voices, but whatever. All right. Any last thoughts?
Besides those two backs,
they're asking about linebackers, bro. They're asking about linebackers. Can give us your thoughts. They want some linebackers in here. I know it's a big.
Oh, what's the problem?
We have a huge need at linebacker. I see a lot of questions about it just around. So
look, give your thoughts on linebacker. I could look. We got Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. We could play a 5-0-6. Okay, no linebackers for all I care. Straight up, I do not care anymore about the linebackers, the alignment. It really does not matter. They will be able to do whatever they want. It's gonna be a horror show for these offensive coordinators trying to figure it out. Like go through a Patrick Graham, like go through his fronts that you'll see, and you're seeing a lot of weird exotic stuff. Okay, now that you have two and he never had edges. He never had edges.
We have to do the Russell Wilson game. I'm sorry, we got to do like a Russell.
We're gonna do the Russell Wilson game. Yeah,
we have to do it. We have to do it. Because now he's in division, we have to do that game. Because that's like one of my – it is the way they did stunts in that game, because the way they adjust their lines because he's short to help him get passing lanes and the way they attack them. And that's how you have to use Russell Wilson. You have to give him passing lanes. Like you cannot just expect him just to throw over the middle of the field without the passing lane. So just the way they used him and that was with like just having Leonard Williams. And he used Leonard Williams that game. Leonard Williams was all over the place, standing up, all over the place. He's over here, he's over there, you know.
Yeah,
because you know Russell Wilson wants to throw the ball 50 times. And let's go.
Oh yeah, now this is going to be terrifying for sure. They're going to be Max Crosby and Chandler Jones are going to have like 5 snaps a game. Maybe like 3 to 5 snaps a game where they rush on the same side. Okay, and like. Guarantee there will be like 100% success rate for the defense in those situations.
they're gonna move Chandler Jones. Like Chandler Jones is gonna be walking around. Like there's gonna be some players where he's just gonna be walking around, and you know what is he gonna do? Is he gonna drop? Is he gonna come at you? He's gonna like drop like twice in like a game. One game, he's gonna drop twice, and that's all you need.
That's all you need. It's always gonna be in the scouting report after that. You just gotta drop once every 4 weeks for it to be in the scouting report. That's it.
That's very exciting. We're almost out of breath. He is a defensive line coach. End of the day.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. We appreciate you guys listening. Of course, we got to have some breakdowns coming, guys, of everything. We get some offensive stuff. I'm doing some offensive stuff right now, and then you know, of course, you got the defensive breakdowns. And then you have the articles coming. You know, we whole bunch of content from us, guys. Be on the lookout. We appreciate all you guys listening. Ask questions. Probably won't get your questions today. You're kind of in a little bit of a rush today, but appreciate all you guys coming in. We got 335 people today, man. That's a lot, bro. Let's go. Hey. We appreciate you guys. I just want to say that. Appreciate you guys. Even, you know, you guys, people, you know, the trolls, if you guys want to come troll us, that's great. We appreciate you. And yes, I got more draft videos coming. We're doing it. I got more draft videos coming. I make sure we can start pumping those out. You know, free agency just kind of takes apart for, you know, the free agency week kind of takes it, right? And, you know, we'll get past that a little bit. But we're gonna keep it moving. Yes, we have merch, Pepe. Yes, we do have merch. Go to do you have a
look at this guy's avatar. Pepe Biden. That's pretty good.
That's funny. Yes, we do have merch,
I'll put the link in the description finally for like the first time. I always say I'll do it and I never do it. So I'll put the link in the description. We have to figure out which merch store we're gonna. We have a couple storefronts, I think, right now in production. So we'll figure that out. But thanks again, Raider Nation. I'll let you.
Peace out.
We'll stay on top of this. Trust me, the breakdowns are coming.
Yeah, we got you. We-